the baby, as I look at her, my daughter, my sweet little daughter, and my other daughter here in the second row, as I look at them and I consider my children, I think about what they might be, what they might become. There could be the President of the United States, right? Or she could be a great missionary around the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's many great things that she could do. And I'm excited to see what they will do. But all these hopes that I put in my children are in part because of their innocence. But as they grow up and they grow older and say they become president of the United States, controversies and corruption will follow them into the White House. Things will happen in their lives, whether they're missionaries, preachers of the gospel, or whether they're just regular work people, that will take my hope away from them. You see, the promise and hope of a child from this sinful human race will leave a void in our hearts if we trust in them to solve our world's problems, if we trust in them to fill our hearts, to fill that void in our hearts, to put our trust in people, will leave us completely, totally, and thoroughly unfulfilled in the end. And this is why tonight I want to speak about Jesus, the one who can fulfill, the one who does, and the one who will fulfill. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be spending the evening in Matthew chapter 1. And if you know anything about the Gospel of Matthew, you know that the Gospel of Matthew was written for the Jews. And the point of Matthew was to say that this whole Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is completely and totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the promise that is put forth in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But it also does something else. It says not just that it fulfills the promises of the Old Testament, but it fulfills the promises of God to fill our hearts with Him, to fulfill our lives in Him. The whole human race yearns for this one, this Jesus of which Matthew speaks. Read with me in chapter 1, verse 1. This is the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And what follows is the genealogy of Jesus. We're not going to read this tonight. 40 names in the lineage of Jesus, Jesus' ancestry, his family tree. In the verse which I've read, he's brought out the fact that there's a chosen people, the Jewish people out of which Jesus comes. And two names in particular it singles out, Abraham and David. He is the son of Abraham and the son of David. If we looked at the genealogy in the Gospel of Luke, he speaks of Jesus being the son of Adam. And tonight I want to look at these three individuals. Adam, Abraham, and David. And we see within them a promise, a hope, and a failure. Because the promise, the hope, point not to them, but to Jesus Christ. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And you'll remember that they were instructed to eat of anything they wish, but not to touch of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they disobeyed and they brought sin into the world, and The serpent spoke to them and spoke lies to them. Told them if they eat, they will be like God. They ate. And now we're in a sinful humanity that's been destroyed because of their fateful decision. But as God is speaking to this trio of people, Adam and Eve, and to the serpent who deceived Eve, there's a promise given to Eve, to Adam. And he's speaking to the serpent. He says to the serpent, he says, I, the Lord, will put enmity, hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed or descendant and her seed or descendant. And then hear this promise. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The promise is that Eve's descendant would conquer the devil. A promise that the devil would be defeated by her seed. And so you read in Genesis chapter 3 that Eve has a child. And she says, I have a man child. I can't believe it. I have a man child with the help of the Lord. It's almost as if she's saying, this might just be the seed that is going to conquer the devil. She was hopeful in this person. This child's name was Cain. And he had a brother named Abel. And they began to fight. Abel was a righteous man. And Cain, he was striving to be righteous. But he wasn't matching up to what Abel was doing. And so he became angry. And he killed his brother Abel. This was not the seed that was promised. This is not the seed that was to destroy the devil. Cain was showing that he was more a son of the devil than a son of God. Sinful humanity cannot fill the void in our hearts. But God has still promised that he will fill this void. He will conquer the evil. And this verse tells us that Jesus is not just the son of Adam, but the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of the chosen people, the Jewish people. And Abraham gets a promise from God. The Lord takes Abraham out into the wilderness and he says, Abraham, look up at the stars in the sky. How many stars are there? Can you count them? I can't count them, God. So shall your descendants be. So numerous will your descendants be. But Abraham could not have a child with his wife Sarah. So he waited and he waited. You'll remember he was 99 years old by the time the Lord opened his wife's womb to give him his child Isaac. The one that he had hoped for. The one, his descendant, who would fulfill this promise that God had made to him. What does the Lord say to him? He says, go, take your son Isaac and sacrifice him to me. Kill him. Kill the promise that I have made to you. So Abraham, in obedience, takes Isaac to sacrifice him. But the Lord, as Abraham lifted up his knife to slay him, the Lord said, stop! And I think the Lord was looking upon this sacrifice, Isaac, and he said, this sacrifice is not sufficient for sinful human race to be saved. Stop! And Abraham stopped, and this child grew up with all the dysfunction of his father and continued to live and had a child named Jacob, who is the line of Jesus. This, though, was not the descendant, not the seed who is spoken of who would bless the nations. This seed could not come from human race alone, this sinful human race. This human race has left us a void. But still, Jesus is the Son of David. The Son of David, the great King of Israel 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And David himself was a great king, a winsome king. If you read about him, you seem to love him. But David gets a promise as well in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord says to David, he says, "When your days are over, I will raise up your descendant, a seed. And he will come after you, and he will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And so David has a son. His name is Solomon. Much hope is put in Solomon. He's a brilliant man, a wise man. People came from all over the earth to seek Solomon's advice. And Solomon, at least for a time, was a man after the Lord's own heart. He built a house of the Lord, a temple to worship at. And after he built that temple, you'll remember that he prayed and the fire of God fell down from heaven. Was this the seed that God had promised David? No. You'll remember that Solomon lived in decadence. He was a wealthy man, and he liked to show it and flaunt it. But he also had a love for women. Hundreds of women he would have for himself and indulge himself in these women. And as he loved these women, his love for God began to wane. And he walked from his God at certain points in his life. This was not the seed promised who would rule as king forever, thank God. Within the sinful human race, we could not find one who would fill this void within our human hearts, one who could save us and deliver us. But God had still promised that there would be one. Over the past few weeks, I don't know if you've noticed news about the Titanic. It's been 100 years since the Titanic sank, this great decadent ship. It was called the Floating Babylon in its time, the unsinkable Titanic, and on its maiden voyage sank. All of man's vibrato and talk of how greatly technological they were, and the boat sinks. But one thing that's interesting to me is that on that boat, they were so sure that this boat was never going to sink that they didn't put enough lifeboats to carry all the people should the boat sink. So thousands of people died because not enough lifeboats were on this ship in case of emergency. I see it as a parable of mankind. We walk through life thinking that within ourselves, within our human nature, we have the ability to attain greatness, to stay afloat. But we don't have within ourselves the boats, the lifeboats, with which to live. We need somebody to come on our boat to help us. And this is what we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back with me if you still have Matthew chapter 1 open. And look with me at verse 18. I'd like to walk through this passage. And we find that Jesus is the promised seed, the promised Messiah who has come into the world. In verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Stop for a second. A young woman named Mary, who's a virgin, hasn't had relations with her husband, or her soon-to-be husband, gets pregnant, fathered by not a man, but by the Holy Spirit. contrast that with all this genealogy that's laid before us, 40 names of fathers in this passage, 40 men who had had sexual relations with their wives or outside of wedlock, and they had a child. But this child was different. This child came from outside of the human race to come inside of the human race. Some people question this. Maybe Mary started to fool around. Was it just a legend that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? The first critic of this is recorded right here in verse 19, and it's Joseph, her soon-to-be husband. Read with me in verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. You see, Joseph knew that virgins don't have babies. If a daughter had come up to her father and said, "I'm pregnant, but I'm not sure how," the dad would say, I can tell you exactly how. You've been fooling around, haven't you?" And Joseph, he didn't know what to think. He knew he didn't have relations with Mary. He knew there was no way that he was the father of a child because he had not known Mary. He was the first skeptic of what had happened, what had transpired. But Mary was a righteous woman, a woman who had not touched a man. She had not known a man sexually. But his fears, his doubts are put to rest as a messenger comes in verse 20. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Joseph needed a messenger to tell him that this was not a child from man, this was a child from God. This was his message of hope. You can put hope in this child. This is a special child. This is not an ordinary child born out of wedlock. This is a child brought down from God. This is God himself entering into human history to save it from its sin. This is what the messenger says in verse 21. The angel says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." His name shall be Jesus. Jesus means he who saves, or the Lord saves. The Lord will be a deliverer. All of human history waited for this point where this one who was promised would come and save. This is the fulfillment of that seed that was talked about through Adam, the seed that was talked about through Abraham, the seed that was talked about through David, the one who would rule a sinful baby like that forever. She is. But how? How would this one save? Verse 22 and 23. "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." And the prophet reads, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Like I said, Matthew is trying to make a point that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises that he would come. This promise from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, was given 800 years before Jesus was born. Just think of all the 40 names that are in this book, in this first chapter. You know, if we looked at all these names that we know about, we would see how they failed to be this seed that's been promised. All of these men, all of these people have been examples of man being with us. But within Jesus, he was not simply a man. He was God coming into the world. He was God with us. And he is God with us. He was born not of man, but of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, in verse 24, this is Joseph's realization here. And Joseph, he awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He called his name Savior. He knew what that meant. In faith against all science, all logic, all experience, he called this child the Savior of the world, the one born to be king, the one born to fill in his heart the need of his empty soul. So what do you call Jesus? Do you call him Lord? Do you call him Savior? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting within yourself, trusting within your own life, will leave a huge void within your soul, within your heart. Trusting in yourself will not solve the problems of this world, will not solve the problems in your own world. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ will your problems be solved. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us, will you have fulfillment within your heart, fulfillment within your life. This world will be void without the Lord Jesus Christ. This same Holy Spirit who birthed within Mary the Lord Jesus Christ can come upon us and birth within us the Lord Jesus Christ to change us, to transform us, and to fill us with his presence, with his love, with his joy, and with his peace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would fill the voids within this room, fill the hearts within this room with your presence, with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Birth yourself within this place and take and transform our lives, Lord, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.